This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
A flag-draped squad car and a teddy bear with flowers sit outside Milwaukee Police District 2 after Officer Kendall Corder dies Sunday. He and his partner were shot in an ambush attack on Thursday. A police procession took his body from Frederick Hospital to Medical Examiner's Office Sunday evening. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson said this.
He died doing what he loved to do, protecting and serving the people of Milwaukee. I can't think of anybody more brave, anyone more honorable than Officer Corder, who stepped in when necessary in order to protect our city.
Officer Corder and his partner were responding to a subject with a weapon when they were shot at in an alley. His partner, Officer Christopher McRae, was released from the hospital on Saturday. A 22-year-old suspect has been arrested and charges are still pending. The names of two more Republicans are floating around for Wisconsin governor. Sources say that Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde are considering bids for the 2026 race. Michaels, a co-owner of a Milwaukee-based construction business, lost to Governor Tony Evers in 2022. Hovde, a multimillionaire in real estate and banking, lost his run for a U.S. Senate seat to Tammy Baldwin in November. So far, the only official candidate in the race is Washington County Executive Josh Schumann. A man accused of killing his cellmate at Green Bay Correctional Institution will spend the rest of his life in prison. Brown County Judge Donald Zudmolder called Jackson Vogel a killing machine at his sentencing.
So it's the sentence of the court and the judgment of the law that you be confined in the Wisconsin State Prison for the rest of your natural life. I find that you are not to be eligible for extended supervision.
Vogel was convicted of murdering Micah Lorano because he was black and gay last summer. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I was eating some barbecue before I came in, which is a rare. Well, I try to eat protein every day because I like to eat sweets. So you got to eat protein so we could absorb the sweets. And so, being smart, I left my sweets in the car. That way, I wouldn't get tempted to just go in and dive in and do stuff I wasn't supposed to do. So you're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. Today is Truth Roundtable. There's only one person at the table. That's Nolita Franz. How are you?
You could definitely
what? Definitely what?
Say it more exciting than that. You sound like you were disappointed that I was here. You were like, oh, there's only one person here today.
She done started kicking up stuff.
Meanwhile, you welcome. I don't even know. Like, that's how you treat your guests.
Stop putting words in my mouth. I said what I'm going to say.
It's hard out here.
Yeah, it is hard in these streets. 833-212-1017 is the number. You know, we should probably have somebody call in and be a guest host.
Who are you going to have call in?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe we'll pick somebody who's here all the time. Have them be a guest to the round table guest.
Yeah, I guess it's less of a round table and more like a
two table, like a high chair.
Either that or certainly a back and forth if we don't have anyone in here to play mediator.
Well, Glenn,
unless you decide to be nice today, and we'll see.
I'm never going to be nice.
Okay.
Glenn is here, so he'll be mediator.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
Glenn will just cut off my mic, click, and then that'll be that.
I'll take all the help I can get.
Wow. I don't think you need any help at all.
Maybe a little bit.
I know a guy whose first name starts with a J that probably needs help.
Oh, here you go.
But I don't I don't think you need any help.
Can you believe that we are already, it's already about to be the 4th of July? Like, yep. I really am kind of in awe of the fact that this year is flying by so fast.
You know, that's what happens when you get older.
You talk about yourself?
Yes, I'm talking about me and I'm talking about you. Time goes by. Once you get over the age of 40, time goes by significantly faster than it did when you were younger.
Yeah, back to that, you were talking about you and me. You could have just kept me out of it. You could have been talking about you.
But I can do what I want to do.
But I digress.
So you don't want to be older?
The point I was
making. No. So you don't want to be older?
We are getting older. Mm. We are.
Yes.
Some of us more than others, more seasoning than.
That's because I was born before you.
That is a fact.
It's not like we were together and
it's
then
apparent.
I grew older.
It's apparent every day. It's
Absolutely,
apparent
it's
every
apparent.
Day.
Why is that? Why is it every day? Day? Because of that? What? Say something. What?
We're on air. So let's just
That's
keep it
I
light.
Thought. No, we're not going to keep it light. That's why we're on the air.
That's fair. We do have some things to dig into. There are some things you wanted to talk about today.
It's been a long weekend. It's been a tough weekend.
Yeah. I think compounded by the news that everyone saw today about the officer who passed, you know, it's something very heavy about that.
And so
not
I was
not a good look for the community either. So
I was on 620 last night, which will be rebroadcast tonight at 6 o'clock, Truth Unfiltered. And one of the things I was saying and trying to convey to people that when you serve a city, race becomes inconsequential. It doesn't matter that Kendall Corder, the police officer, was black. The fact that someone killed him disregarded authority, like said, I don't really care. Can you imagine what the average citizen would have gone through had they showed up and got out the car? And like those it transcends politics, race, religion. That when a person in their mind literally 100% disregards life.
Yeah. Don't disagree with you. Every life is precious and important. So.
And so, you know, there were some people, oh my God, they killed a black man. Well, true. It's fact. But I also caution people that was a tragedy. Beyond measure, for the city, for the family, for its coworkers. Don't raise that up against the average person that gets killed every day and you don't say anything about. Prosecute that alleged shooter, same way you prosecute everybody.
Yeah, were people saying no to that?
Oh, some people were saying, you know, oh, you need to throw the book at him. Well, then we need to throw the book at everybody. Like, we need to be consistent in what we do. Tremaine Jones was out because they didn't prosecute him, gave a deferred prosecution agreement in 2021, yet he continued to commit crimes. And nobody said, hey, we're going to revoke the deferred prosecution and lock him up. They didn't.
So systemic failures.
Well, it was one. There was no system.
Well, you said there were multiple. He continued to commit offenses. So if there, that leads me to believe there were multiple. So
again, in one place. If, there was no system. It was just one office, one place, Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office.
If he was continuing to commit crime and then getting caught for continuing to commit crime, like at each juncture, why wasn't there someone to come along and...
Like the district attorney's office saying, hey, we're going to revoke the deferred prosecution and charge you with this and that.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. And so while we argue, here's the kicker. We argue systemic racism. But then when it smacks you in the face, you need to correct it. And they didn't. Like you can't scream systemic racism and then turn around and when the system fails you, not call it out. The system failed. But it wasn't, it's a criminal justice system. It's easy to be general. It was one office and one group of people, prosecutors, in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. They deferred his prosecution. They should have locked him up. And had he been locked up, just like the DV guy out in Waukesha, none of those crimes would have occurred.
The additional offenses.
But yet, what are you doing that you make a community unsafe by being soft on someone?
Well, I certainly feel like there are going to be a lot more people who are going to have a lot more questions that need to be answered as a result of this, as they should.
Questions like?
Like exactly what you were just saying. If they would have basically put him in jail after the initial offense, and they did not, and he went on to commit multiple offenses.
Right.
I think the family of this officer has the right to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, multiple questions.
And that happens every day.
I feel while it's a tragedy, mm-hmm. Of course it is, it's something about someone losing their life as they are doing their job duties. Like he was there to, you know, be a police officer, which is what he signed up to be, and then just like that,
it's gone. And then someone was saying, well, what was he doing in District 3 when he works in District 2? District 3 is busy. Let those officers up there that handle those calls do that. Where, you know, it's too unsafe. He didn't understand. So now they're making like excuses for, well, you know, he didn't know how to handle it, so he was in the wrong place. Like, what are you talking about?
No.
It's a city of Milwaukee. I'm gonna go fight a fire, but oh wait.
That's not my area.
My house is over here. That's on the north side, south side, east side.
Where you're needed.
Well, that's why it says city of Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
not district. And so, but the flip side, right? We can't elevate that death above all the others. The four in a weekend, the 16 people shot. Like this is a serious pattern. That nobody's coming up with. I'm pretty sure we'll get a task force from the governor. We'll get a task force from the city. And so I'm hearing what people are saying, but I'm not hearing any solutions.
Yeah.
A solution isn't to start to look at a problem that's been going on since before Christ. Like homicides have been going on. Like, what are we doing?
I think that it's not to differentiate to say one is more appalling or requires more attention than the other one. What I think is happening is that, you know, his chosen profession is what people are really, you know, I don't want to say up in arms about, but more like, because I would be curious to know what the statistics are on in the line of duty.
In terms of?
Police officers. Like in the last, let's say, 2 years, 5 years, even. How many total?
Milwaukee has lost 9 since I came on the job, April 12th, 1993.
Okay, so it's more of a rarity.
Of course it is. It's
right.
Always
so
is.
I think
600,000 cops in the city.
And you can cite 9. So I just think that's why people are just like, because it just does not happen regularly. And sadly to say, those other crimes that you just talked about, the other mm-hmm. homicides, they're more commonplace.
Right.
So people aren't as aggrieved about them as they are this particular thing because it's such a rare occurrence.
But they should be aggrieved about all of them. Equally, they should be aggrieved only because it's a police officer. More because you killed authority. You killed someone who represents the wall.
Law and order.
The wall between you being safe at home mm-hmm. at night while you sleep and not. And that's what, and I think that's what people miss, because the lens we use is politics, race, gender, all these other things. But in fact, it comes down to authority and not authority. And someone said, I don't really care about authority.
It's certainly a bad look for the city. There's just no way around it.
Again. But are we going to do anything? What should we do?
Well, you suggested that the governor might put a task force together.
I'm like, that's useless.
My point was going to be like, and what would they discover that?
They'll give us statistics and data that we already have access to on our phone.
So.
And we'll go through the brouhaha and how upset we are. But we won't tell people, you know, stop having children before you get married. If you do, don't have a child under 18. If you do, you know, then ask for help, right? We won't correct all those maladies that literally cause generational poverty. We'd rather, I got to be nice. I have to be. And that's a harsh way to look at it. But in the end, when we stop doing those things, the wheels fell off.
Were you suggesting just now that generational poverty is what led the suspect to commit the offense?
No, I have no idea what led him to commit the offense. I'm saying that the arguments that people make need to be pushed off the desk. They need to be moved, because the generational poverty thing, you can't argue, because it's an individual thing, right?
Agreed.
It's like you can't argue education. You have to literally look at him and look at his background and find some of those things that caused him to be in the place he was in at a certain time.
What I think you get when you have people going and looking at statistics for people who commit offenses,
right,
is that there are commonalities in
right.
certain cases
right.
to those offenders.
Most of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And
absolutely.
So that's where you get poverty. That's where you get, you know, lack of father, one
education,
single mom.
All that.
Yeah,
right.
That's where you
right.
get all of those right. different boxes to check. But I think the reality of the situation is I'd like to think as a society, we recognize that people are in control of their own actions. Meaning, it's that individual made that choice.
Something else caused it. Poverty caused it, right? Right. I mean, that's the argument, but it differs when you reach a certain age, and you look at where you came from and the things you overcame, and you go, "Well, wow!" With like one or two little tweaks, I made it.
Sure. I think that there are variables at play
right.
that contributing
right.
variables, of course. To people who decide which path they're going to take.
Yep.
But again, I think we are all rational enough individuals that we can separate a person mm-hmm. who is just inherently
bad.
Bad sounds.
Bad.
who makes choices
right.
that contributes to their own detriment.
Right.
That's what I mean.
And when you're of a age and a mindset where you clearly know right from wrong and you choose wrong, like how do you argue that? Like how do you reverse that other than
I think that's when those factors come into play. Like, do they know better? Sure.
Right.
What situation were they in that made them think they didn't have any other option?
Right.
And that's what
when there are clearly options. Now, were they presented to the person? Maybe, maybe not. Did they finish their education so they came across those options? Because they teach many of those in school. Maybe not. And those are the things we have to start to look at. Like, everybody's background is different. Everybody's access is different. And we got to go through. And I think the problem with the cookie cutter, and I know we got to go to break, but
yep.
the cookie cutter piece is that the cookie cutter only gets 75-80%. Every time. Like public education, one of the issues with public education is it's only for about 80% of the kids, and the other 20% that excel, the 10% that excel beyond everything, and the 10% that kind of fall behind, they're left behind.
I don't know. I think we should unpack that just a little bit more, but we got to go to break. So
why don't
we do that?
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I see Winky Blue. I see Talking Text. I see everything coming up. Truth Roundtable, up next.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in It. Nolita, I didn't know you could sing, girl. And there's Nolita singing? It's not Nolita.
Did you call me Tina Marie? Go ahead. And respect her. Put some respect on Tina Marie's name. She was out here singing, okay?
I think she was probably the first white girl everybody thought was black.
I think you are right.
And then you saw her and went, wait, what? Well, that was when wait, what wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, no, she was singing down.
Yeah.
Especially in Fire and Desire. She tore that song
like
up.
Like a Boss Gags and all those white guys start singing.
Oh gosh, what is the one name of the one guy?
Bobby Caldwell.
That is exactly right.
What do you want to do?
Classic song.
And then they saw him and went, huh? White guy on the piano on Soul Train.
I think people saw him, but they were still like,
so?
Okay. If you can sing, you can sing.
Yeah.
I think, especially in our community, we don't care.
True.
We'll take you.
Winky Blue, you're on Truth Roundtable. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon to you guys.
What's up?
You know, I feel bad about the situation with the young officer. But you know that area, I think I brought it up somewhere else too. That area, man, looks like about three police has been killed right there. It's like a little cursed area. I had a store on 34th and North Avenue back in the late 80s, early 90s. And that was a smoke shop down there right on that corner on 25th. And they had broke in there and the police came on the scene and the burglars ran out, the police chased them through the yard. And the police came through the yard and the burglar was on the porch and shot the police through the head, right? Two doors right off of that alley right there.
When was
that? Right off of that.
Was that, Mike Turmo? About 1990-ish?
That was like 90, right?
Yeah,
and then if you go down the street on, right, and then if you go down the street on 30 on Vine, 24th and Vine, remember the police shot that had somebody shot out the window and the bullet went through the paddy wagon and killed the police officer.
Yeah, that's Robert.
You know.
So what is it that you're saying about the black community, Winky?
No, I'm saying something about the neighborhood. That's just like 32nd and Center where they was chasing the police. Looked like bad thing just happened to police. Okay. I don't know in school areas. That's just me. That's just me just saying something because I pay attention a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I hate to hear this. I hate to hear that happened, my man. And, you know, all I can say is that the police, according to Romans, the 13th chapter, it God ordains them people. See, and this is what people don't understand.
Mm-hmm. It's a calling. Absolutely.
Right. The 13th chapter of Romans tell you that they're there to protect and they don't bear the sword alone. I mean, in vain. So if you do wrong, they will execute judgment upon you. And it took a while for me to even understand where that, you know, you have to kind of be a Bible believer and understand the concept of order, man,
right,
to even appreciate right. The police. Because if you don't, you're just, you know, like me, I was young, wild, I ain't not a police. But then when you realize that it's a ministry, okay, and in Romans, the 13th chapter, man, started at the first verse to about the fifth verse, explains it all to you.
All right.
And so I hate to hear that about the little brother, and I'll probably be there. I was at the brother that got killed over there off of Hampton. That was in 96. They had that big funeral down in St. Luke's, and we participated in that. So no doubt we'll probably participate in this one, you know, come out anywhere. If we don't participate, just come out in the service. If the family choose to have a service, you know, I don't know. So right. Anyway, man, I just hate to hear about the little brother, man. Okay, I'm out.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, just to piggyback off what he said, I think the piece that is should also be discussed, because you talked about the community or that particular area. It's like, what does it do for the confidence of the people that live in that neighborhood in terms of them feeling safe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that very much erodes at the very fabric of to serve and protect, to feel like you can be safe in your own area if mm-hmm. police aren't even safe right. in your area.
It's funny, the talking text line, you know, Matthew is on this. Dr. Ken talking crazy already. Rest in peace, Officer Corder. But you just something, you know, the guy out there killed two firefighters in Idaho. It's really something that is unique to this country or state. How old are you that you're not old enough to recognize that public servants have been getting killed for literally millennia? Like, where have you been? Then they said, who those old head callers talking about what happened to them in the 80s? Bruh, get these religious people up out of here. Are you so young that you don't understand all the staples of your own community? Be you black or white.
Yeah.
That help get you where you are now so that you can be on YouTube saying what you say. Like what, where did you lose the fact that you're so dismissive of people, first of all, who are older than you, who paved the way for you, where you wouldn't even have what you have and be who you are if somebody older didn't take the time to get you there and teach you what you needed to know. But that's okay. And then we wonder why older people go, you know what? I'm tapping out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah. They kind of push away from that
right.
idea that older generation are the people who should be stewarding and shepherding the right. younger generation, because right. the younger generation doesn't listen. I think what was really nice about that caller is to say that not only does he have a foothold in the community, but he can remember every right. single instance
right.
of those tragedies, so right. that it's not just a blip. It's not, oh man, yeah, it's that not. Did happen. For him, it's yep. a very real thing. Right. Like I can cite each time right. a police officer got killed in mm-hmm. a community that I have affection for, that he might even live in. And I think what we lose is a very humanistic nature of, just because something doesn't affect you directly, maybe that's not your neighborhood, maybe right. that's not where you grew up, maybe you don't even know anyone that lives there, but doesn't mean that the people that are there aren't having very real experiences. And there should be a certain appreciation that we should have for people as it relates to their experience, and they should be allowed to have it.
And it's funny, because when you don't have the breadth of knowledge and you start saying things like, I understand too much, but when old heads start talking crazy, y'all got to check them. Since y'all don't do it, it continues. Do what? Like, what exactly are you talking about?
I think,
like,
he's suggesting that what the caller was saying was crazy, but crazy is a matter of interpretation.
And
you nor I didn't believe that it was crazy.
Right. But yet you have a breath of life where you remember not just one or two cops being killed, but five or six.
Yeah.
I remember yeah. nine mm-hmm. just in the time I moved here. That doesn't count living in Chicago or just being alive.
Right.
And we don't have that sense of understanding and pattern that none of this has changed. Like, when is this going
to
change?
Sense of community. When you're not attached to or feel a certain responsibility to the place that you live, it's easy to disregard.
How about
the things
your family?
That happen. I don't know. Maybe he's not from here.
Wow.
Maybe he's not.
833-212-1017 is the number before we get to traffic and all that stuff. Al, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, good evening. You know, my heart goes out to that police officer. Yes, it does. And I feel like everybody deserves the right to go home, whether you're a police officer or you are an innocent person. I think there's a lack of communication when it deals with the black community and the police officer, because some people feel like they don't need to talk. You know, and in order for anything to work, people need to talk to each other. You know, some people feel they don't have to talk to the black community, even though the black community will welcome some of these, you know, lieutenants, sheriffs, or whatsoever. And I think that's why there's a disconnection between the two.
Well, there's, you know, to be honest with you, there's more of a connection now before Corder's death than there's been before. I think each year it's gotten better and better and better. So I don't know what vantage point you're using, but I know people in the black community. I know people in the black community that support the police. I know police, both black, white, Hispanic, Asian, male, and female, that support the community at every level. So I don't get that.
Well, what I'm saying is the people up at the top, like Miss Danita, you know, people who are always looking like a deer in headlights. That's what them the people I'm talking about.
When has she looked like a deer in headlights? When has Sheriff Ball looked like a deer in headlights?
Well, I'm gonna say it from my point of view. Every time I see her on TV, she act like she don't want to talk to black people. You know, and I feel
that's
like
not true because I was actually no. I was actually
that's your look.
You're not listening. I was actually at a community event that I facilitated and was the speaker where I let people ask questions. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It was a predominantly black.
Well,
it was at Clinton Rose Center. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm
but that's
saying,
not true.
What I'm saying from what I pick up from my heart and my energy.
Well, I just gave you an example of you being wrong.
No, that's your experience.
That's,
what I'm saying,
who says what I
you
use?
Know what? You know what? Never mind, because we're
okay,
going back and
go.
Forth, and
yes,
it's bad connection. Bad connection.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You know you can be a little bit nice.
No, right? Because I'm not going to let somebody come up and say something that's blatantly wrong. That she don't like to talk to black people. She don't talk to black. And I'm sitting in a room facilitating a conversation with her command staff with people that can ask any question they want. No matter how sensitive, media was there for a second, and they asked every question about the deaths and the overdoses and all that. But yet, somebody that hasn't been there or doesn't watch the news says something, and I think it's a little disingenuous. I would be a little disingenuous to let that slide, knowing that there's significant other instances.
Sure.
That she didn't do that.
I would just try to, if I could restate what the caller was trying to say, and again,
I get it. I got what he was saying. I got exactly what he was saying.
Okay.
The point is, that's his point of view.
Yeah.
So
and I
the
think
only
they said
person that.
That
can change his point of view is him.
Yeah.
You can't expect somebody else to come in and make you. You got to come to the line.
But you know what? I think we also need to talk about how we exist in our own realities, like everyone does, like what the information they have at their fingertips. What their perception might be.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof.
Right.
Of course, I'll give you that too. So I think you take all of those things and you put them together, and that's how people form the opinions that they have. They form the vantage points that they have. And for that caller, their vantage point was formed with the information they have at their disposal. Here's the thing. Where we don't make traction is by being quick to divide and not understand, being quick to hang our hat on things that might not necessarily be the case. Your experience,
but I agree with it. So
right. No,
I'm only going to hold on to that.
I'm saying your experience of the of in the open forum that you had versus him sitting at home watching television and having a different perceived experience is that at the end of the day, none of this is easy. Navigating the space of trying to hold together a community in tragedy
at any level, in any organization,
is beyond difficult.
All right.
And we have to start being able to allow a little bit of grace, not only for the people who are out here doing their job. I see someone put on the talking text line, I think Curly Q says, everyone deserves a right to go home to their families at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, that is exactly right. Whether they're a police officer who's doing their job or whether it's someone who just went to the store to get a quart of milk and trying to get home.
Right.
Like, it, human decency should trump all.
Yep.
And that's the conversation we should be having.
833-212-1017 is the number. Truth Roundtable. My guest is Nolita Franz.
The one and only, you should probably say.
Oh, my God. Notice she said that. I didn't.
That's a fact.
Maybe that's somebody.
It is a fact.
Reality.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
What we're gonna do now is go back.
Why am I the only one dancing?
On and on.
Okay, that was my part. Like, I'm the guy they would call to do a song like that.
You doing all the ad-libs?
They go on and on and that, on and on.
That
like, that's
part,
it.
It's the part of the song you want to do.
833-212-1017 is the number. Let me look at this talking text line, because y'all talking, y'all being, as he said, it costs nothing to be respectful. That is true. Let me see.
You think that was for you?
No. That was for other people who were saying stuff in the in the chat. So Matthew isn't religious. Okay. I say so what. Moving on. Okay, I know who this person is. Okay, they don't like the police and they don't like. Okay, got it. Mm. All right. Curly Q said everybody deserves to go home.
Yep.
not really a city girl. Let it go. And so anyway, some stuff you just gotta. And so part of the issue, right? Part of the issue is you want to have a conversation where you get to say everything you say, but you don't want to hear anything anybody else says, which is not a conversation. You want to be able to say something where people can't challenge you. And I've been challenged here, and people say, such and such and such, you're wrong, and here's why. And I went, oh, you're absolutely right, I'm wrong. But when somebody does it to you, oh, there's a problem. Oh, you can't do that, because you think you should be able to just come in and say whatever it is you want to say. And you have this shock value, and you want to be an atheist, and you don't like the police, so what? Okay. And I say the same thing about people that are religious. So what?
I believe there's room to exist with constructive dialogue.
Absolutely.
Like, everything doesn't have to be confrontational.
And it doesn't have to be constructive. Sometimes you just sit down with your friends and run off at the mouth and talk, and that's all it is. You don't have to take anything away. Nobody has to be right. But when you say things that are blatantly, like, completely and totally wrong, and there's proof, you gotta expect to be correct.
You got to expect to be corrected? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
And the nerve of you, the way you be like, excuse me, Dr. Ken, yeah, that's all right.
Who?
You. Don't be trying to play Ms. Innocent, man.
That's not even, we never do that.
What?
People want to be heard. They want to be heard. They have a.
Within reason. Just like me. You want to be heard within reason.
You get to be heard every day. You have your own show.
But that's a choice.
I'm just saying.
That people have. That's all.
That's fair.
Right.
So I think if we circle back, full circle moment, let's go back bigger scale, bigger picture. So we're talking about the officer, a tragedy, but what we're realizing is that this is happening all over. Someone put it in the chat, but we were going to talk about it anyway. What happened in Idaho with the firefighters who were ambushed by someone who apparently the latest reports are suggesting that he wanted to be a fireman himself or a sheriff and couldn't get in, probably didn't pass that psych evaluation.
But we don't know if that's the reason why he shot him.
No.
We have no idea.
No, because he can't tell us. He killed himself.
Right.
And so there is a level of sadness to think about with people who are going and trying to do their job, a job, and not making it home at night.
Right.
And again, where's the humanity?
Well, we tend to want to rationalize everything and have an answer for everything, even when we don't. So we use what we know to fill in the blanks so we can feel okay about it. Well, he wanted to be a cop, and so that's why he wanted to be a firefighter. We have no idea. those that's just information you have. And I think the bad part about what happens to everybody is many times we don't look at what we don't know. What's missing? What information don't you have? If you don't have this, then you can't say that's the reason. You got to have all of it. Like, you know, they always say it's the totality of the circumstances, not one or two points, and then you go off. That's why we do things, we make decisions with information that's faulty, and then we wonder why it didn't work. Well, because you didn't have all the information. You went with
or
what
you had
made
the information,
you feel good.
Or you had the information, access to the information at the time, and maybe more information comes along
but
after the fact.
But the fact that you recognize that your information is limited, that's one thing. But when you think this is it, and you make a life-altering decision, that's a problem.
But if you don't know that there's additional information,
most people know there's stuff.
I don't know. I think there's.
We're creating a space where, well, it was their fault. Sometime, I need to be. Hey, look, you didn't wait. You should have waited. You should have got more information. Like, you
sure. There's space for that.
And that's what we don't do. We don't do that. We make everything nice and pretty and happy, and then it falls apart, and then we go, oh, that's too bad. The fact that, you know, we're locking up so many people, and I don't know what was on the DA's mind. We're locking up.
When they decided to.
You let this guy go.
Let that guy go.
Because he may not have had a prior, gave him a deferred.
But you know.
And then he continually committed crimes.
But here's the thing.
And nobody did anything.
You can say that, and that is true, but you can also say there are probably a number of people they did the same thing for, and they did not go out and do anything. So,
but here's the question.
You can't.
Should those other people have one?
You can't predict who's
going to
be the bad apple.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
So then don't do it.
Don't do what?
That means let the victim have their day in court. Imagine that.
So don't give anyone an opportunity.
That's not what I'm saying.
So
I'm saying.
You said don't do that.
What do you mean opportunity? What I'm saying is that everyone should have their day in court.
Sure.
But every victim should have their way out. Did we talk to the victim to see whether or not they wanted the deferred prosecution? That type of thing. Exactly.
Know. Yeah.
Information we don't have. We got to go back and see. But you got people bashing Tremaine Jones. Oh, my God, he got out. I said, you don't know how he got out and why he got out. You don't know why those DVs didn't go through. They might not have shown up or, like, we have no idea. But yet people are steadily making decisions why they think he was out.
And I think you just proved the point that I was making, which is we can't paint with a broad brush
right
how each person should be handled.
Correct.
Because for every one person that goes back and reoffends, there could be 10 that don't.
Right.
So I guess we gotta go to break.
But I don't know if that's a reason. We'll fight about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Truth Roundtable with Nolita Franz. 833-212-1017 is the number. That's what I get for reading something in the middle of. So it amazes, and we got a break in a couple minutes. It amazes me how we process things. Knowing or not knowing what information we have and don't have. Like, we have to at least be cognizant of, like, of all the stuff you know, you only know, like, maybe less than 0.5%, maybe.
I think people just utilize their vantage point. And
sure.
Not to mention the fact that how we're raised, upbringing,
I'm
class,
all that
goes into how we think and how we see the world, how the world is shaped for us. And so I don't necessarily think people are intending to look at it.
That's not true.
With the deficiency.
That's not
I said,
true.
I don't believe that.
Okay, but that's not true.
It's my truth.
Even though I know true, just because
even though I know
that's another one of those ridiculous comments.
This is the truth.
My truth, no, the truth, and my truth.
You sit here. Did you just call me an idiot? What'd you say? did you just say?
What I was saying was,
did you just say that I was an idiot?
No, I didn't. See how you interrupt and then
man,
hit me?
Man, listen. Yeah. We finna have it out on this.
I'm just watching dude because he tripping.
He telling anyway, you to settle down
no,
and
not
be rude and mean and call people idiots on your show?
I didn't call you an idiot.
Is that what he said?
No, you need to calm down. I wasn't calling you an idiot. I was saying that I thought it was idiotic that people don't think beyond or even have a concept to think there's something I don't know.
I don't think it's intentional. I honestly don't. So okay. I think that people.
I think I may give people way too much credit.
Ooh, that's you went around the bend to get that backhanded insult in.
Whatever. By the way, calling all black owned business owners and entrepreneurs, are you looking to share your story and grow your reach? We've teamed up with Associated Bank. Black owned business give back each quarter. Four lucky businesses will be having an opportunity to spotlight their brand and journey on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Sign up for your business spotlight interview at blackbusinessgiveback.com. That's blackbusinessgiveback.com. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure on the truth. For official rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com. Associated Bank, member FDIC.